Genesis chapter 23, the title of the lesson is The Death of Sarah or Dying in the Face. Let's take a look at Genesis chapter 23. And Sarah was 127 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, the same is Hebron in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah, and to weep for her. And Abraham stood up from before his dead, and spake unto the sons of Heth, saying, I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. And the children of Heth answered Abraham, saying unto him, Hear us, my lord, thou art a mighty prince among us. In the choice of our sepulchres bury thy dead. None of us shall withhold from thee his sepulchre, but that thou mayest bury thy dead. And Abraham stood up and bowed himself to the people of the land, even to the children of Heth. And he communed with them, saying, If it be your mind that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me, and entreat for me to Ephron the son of Zohar, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he hath, which is in the end of his field, for as much money as it is worth. He shall give it me for a possession of a burying place amongst you. And Ephron shall dwell among, and Ephron dwelt among the children of Heth. And Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the audience of the children of Heth, even of all that went in at the gate of his city, saying, Nay, my lord, hear me. The field give I thee, and the cave that is therein, I give it thee. In the presence of the sons of my people, give I it thee. Bury thy dead. And Abraham bowed down himself before the people of the land, and he spake unto Ephron in the audience of the people of the land, saying, But if thou wilt give it, I pray thee, hear me. I will give thee money for the field. Take it of me, and I will bury my dead there. And Ephron answered Abraham, saying unto him, My lord, hearken unto me. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver. What is that betwixt me and thee? Bury therefore thy dead. And Abraham hearkened unto Ephron, and Abraham weighed to Ephron the silver which he had named in the audience of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, current money with the merchant. And the field of Ephron, which was in Machpelah, which was before Mamre the field, and the cave which was therein, and all the trees that were in the field, that were in all the borders round about, were made sure unto Abraham for a possession in the presence of the children of Heth, before all that went in at the gate of his city. And after this Abraham buried Sarah his wife in the cave of the field of Machpelah, before Mamre, and the same is Hebron in the land of Canaan. And the field and the cave that is therein were made sure unto Abraham for a possession of a burying place by the sons of Heth. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Let's take a look at our lesson here. Sarah, whose name means princess, long barren, mother of Isaac, whose name means laughter, died at age 127, after at least 100 years of marriage. She is the only woman woman to be listed with an account of number of days in the Bible. She is also listed as one of the cloud of witnesses in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. Now, on a side note, we need to point out that we do not commune with any member of the cloud. We don't commune with dead saints. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. There are some Christians who feel like it is okay to speak to or pray to dead loved ones or saints. But according to Deuteronomy 18, verses 11 and 12, that is the same thing as speaking to the dead. It's called necromancy. Now, in 1 Peter 3, chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, Sarah is titled the Mother of the Faithful. She is an example of living and an obedient wife. She is an example of proper beauty. Now, with that in mind, let's take a look at 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 through 7. Okay, Sarah, the wife of Abraham here. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. That if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto your wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So Sarah was an example of an obedient wife. She was also an example of proper beauty, as we see here. Now, in regard with that, turn to Proverbs chapter 11, verse 22. A verse seems like it has fallen into disuse. Where it's being forgotten in today's positive world. Verse 22, Proverbs 11:22, as a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. So we see here that action, a woman's actions is considered to be part of her beauty. A woman can enhance her beauty by her grace of character and being. Now, Sarah died in Hebron, chapter 23, verse 22, but in chapter 22, verse 9, it states that Abraham dwelt in Beersheba. Now, Beersheba was his place of worship, according to chapter 21, verse 33. Now, this was many miles away. Actually, it was 26.4 miles away. In a side note here, let's look at what a Sabbath day's journey was. As far as measurements, someone has inquired about that. Just in a side note here, the Sabbath day's journey, according to Joshua chapter 3, verse 4 and 5, it was to be 2,000 cubits proper from the city. Now, the later rabbis doubled that to a little bit over a mile. But during New Testament times, they again doubled that to 8,000 cubits. But the proper answer, the biblical answer, would be 2,000 cubits. Now, Abraham considered himself a sojourner and had to leave Beersheba and come that distance to mourn over her. Now, Abraham was a sojourner, meant that he pretty much was a tent dweller and had no land in possession that he could call his own or establish a house or a home. Now, he had to ask for a place to bury Sarah, therefore, and he asked from the sons of Heth. Now, quite possibly, the sons of Heth were Hittites, as mentioned here in our verses here. And the price was for 400 shekels of silver. Now, we can calculate the actual value by going by today's value of silver. One shekel is worth 0.403 ounces. So you take those ounces and multiply it by today's value. It'll give you approximately the value of the land that Machpelah was worth. Now, without land possession, Abraham was considered only a resident alien. Now, he was considered a prince, but yet a sojourner. Now, he could afford whatever they asked. God promised the land from the Nile. Now, God promised the land to Abraham from the Nile to the Euphrates River. But Abraham ended up owning a family graveyard. And it's quite a difference. God promising a vast amount of land, but he ends up with only a family graveyard. Chapter 23, verses 3 through 20. Chapter 25, verse 10. And you also see Genesis 49:31. So if God had promised all this land, but he ends up with only a graveyard, why? Did God renege on his promises? Was Abraham a failure? Well, the answer to all that is found in the idea that all along, it was really all about possessing God and not land. Revelation 21, verse 3. Now, the land promise fulfillment is secured by God's own word. God is not going to renege on his promise. The promise to Abraham was both spiritual, and we find that in the words stars of the sky, and we also find that in the kingdom of heaven. The promise was also earthly. So the promise was spiritual and earthly. And we see the earthly found in the words sand of the sea or kingdom of God. The purchase of Machpelah was handled in three cycles of negotiations. Those cycles are found in verses 3 through 6, in verses 7 through 11, and verses 12 through 16. Quite simply, these are summarized in the words, first section being using, second giving, and the last, finally, purchasing. First of all, the Hittites, or the owner of Machpelah, said, "You can use it," and then give it, and then finally purchase this land. And Abraham paid full price. Now, David also, King David also purchased, in comparison, the Temple Mount for 50 shekels, according to 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 24. In like manner, Christ paid full price on our account. This is found in the words, "It is finished," or "It is paid in full," according to John 19, verse 30. Christ's empty grave is the guarantee of our inheritance. Now, looking at Machpelah here, the word Machpelah simply means the doubled one, or the double grave, the double cave. So there's two sections, two caves, actually, here. And it's Machpelah is considered by modern Jews to be the second holiest site, second only to the Temple Mount. Now, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, Rebekah, and Leah all are buried here. Now, there is a very large structure built here, and this was built by Herod the Great. And it is similar in magnificence to probably the temple was originally, well, when it was standing, in that it has very large stone, it has very large stone blocks putting it together. It almost looks like a fortress. It is still intact and complete, even today, in spite of all the wars and things that have been fought all around there. But it is a mosque today because it is under Muslim control. The Jews are permitted to visit Machpelah, I think currently only 10 days a year. Now, there's a couple of Jewish traditions here about it. There's a Jewish tradition that says Adam and Eve were buried here. If you look at your maps in the back of your Bibles, you'll see that Hebron, which is the location here, Hebron is just south of Jerusalem. And also, according to Jewish tradition, besides the one about Adam and Eve, it is also supposed to be the place where Esau was slain by Judah. And this was having to do with Esau being buried in this gravesite. He was not permitted to be buried there since he gave away his rights. So those are two Jewish traditions there concerning it. And also, in regard to modern times here, cremation, in contrast to being buried, cremation is a popular choice of today, but is viewed in the Bible as a sign of disgrace. Example was King Saul's body was burned in 1 Samuel 31, verse 12. See 2 Chronicles 34, verses 4 and 5. King Saul's body was burned after him being apostate and being a failure. Now, Hebrews 11:13 points out to the fact that one dies in faith by living by faith. One dies in faith by living by faith. Faith is simply taking God at His word. Since the just shall live by faith, it involves not just a one-time decision, but a daily trust, a living faith. According to Job 13:15, though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. The grave points to the resurrection. We die with this hope. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 18. We have this hope of the resurrection. Now, the Muslims of today, you see them cutting people's heads off who don't convert or who have offended their religion in some way. And the reason for that is, I believe, that according to some authorities, their religion teaches them that a person who is beheaded cannot be resurrected, at least resurrected unto life. In 2 Corinthians 5, 6 through 10, we see that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So when one dies, one is immediately brought into God's presence. There is no waiting around in a purgatory whatsoever. There are no tunnels with a light at the end of the tunnel as advertised on television. When one dies in faith, one immediately goes to be with God. But according to Revelation chapter 21, verse 7, it is only the overcomers who actually make it. If one commits suicide or doesn't overcome by faith, then one does not make it. So, one is to live by faith in order to die in faith. I think that will pretty well sum up today's lesson. Hopefully there's not too many questions here. Let's close with a word of prayer. Dear gracious Father, we ask now that you'll cause us to listen to thy word and to obey it. We ask that you'll forgive us of our sins and for our failures. We ask also that you'll bless your word, cause it to go out in power and in truth. We ask also that you be with our nation, that it will repent and turn unto thee, and cause us, Lord, to be good witnesses of thine. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.